Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Elizabeth is the CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, a leading multimedia provider of lifestyle content. The Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. It's where you'll find inspirational and encouraging stories, advice, and information with our radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Real people, real advice, real places, real products and businesses, real life stories, and more, including real celebrity life. Be your best and keep it real, confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You. Now, here's your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, totally joking around, but I hope you guys are all having a great day. I know mine's kind of stressful, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I'm actually kind of glad it's stressful because I've got the stress buster on the phone, so I should end up having a great day. And with me is Ayla Ashad, and I hope, did I do it right? Did I pronounce your name right?
That's fine, Ayla Ashad.
Ayla?
Like a sneeze, a child.
Like a sneeze, like at you. Yeah, I got it. And, you know, I'm going to love this because going into the call, I can tell you like to goof around, but be serious. Be serious about your field and what we're going to say, but you've got a great personality and are funny and everything. So we're going to have a blast for the next hour. I did want to mention, for those of you following with us on the Internet, the chat room is open. And also, you can follow along with her website if you'd like to at aylaspeaks.com. Now, that's spelled AILASPEAKS.com. So, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah, let me read a little bit about you here so people know, you know, who we've got on the line. You're an RN, which is a registered nurse, correct?
Yes.
And what's MSN?
Master of Science in Nursing.
Oh, neat. Okay. And your Stress Busters coach is an award-winning, you're the Stress Buster coach, but you're an award-winning speaker, author, and certified well-being coach. And you have, like we just saw, Masters of Science degrees and Bachelor degrees in nursing, which is really neat. How'd you go from nursing to stress?
Well, that's the real story, is that when I was in nursing school, I had an instructor that one day said 85% of all disease and illness is due to stress. And the minute she said it, it's like a light bulb went off in my head. And I thought, well, if that's true, why aren't we helping people get rid of their stress so they don't have to be sick?
Yeah.
So from that point on, I set on a quest to learn more about stress and how it affects us physically and also how we can reduce it so we don't have to be sick.
Yeah,
that's
I got on this path. Yeah, I can. You have a different voice than a lot of people, and it's a real stress-free voice. It's really interesting. So I want to learn about your voice and your personality as well, because it's calming. It's really interesting. It's really a fun, you have a fun voice. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that before.
No.
Your energy level.
People do say they're calmer around me. Yeah.
Yeah, your energy comes through in your voice. It's really interesting. So okay, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
I want to mention your book, though, because you have a best-selling book, and it's called 34 Instant Stress Busters, Quick Tips to De-Stress Fast with No Extra Time or Money. How's that going for you?
Great.
I love your book. Yeah.
It's going great. The neat part is, as soon as I tell people you don't have to read the book, you don't have to be stressed by reading the book, they go, oh, great.
That's funny.
You just open to a tip and do it. It's a tip-by-tip book, and so you just open to the tip, do it, and then the next page tells you why it works. And you can just do it tip-by-tip. You don't have to sit from, you know, read it cover to cover.
Yeah. That's so, you know, it does stress people out to read books. You know, to have them, I know I've got a pile here sitting in it. Every time I look at the pile, I'm like, I've got to read all those books.
Right. Well, what I learned from reading all this stuff myself is, you know, I had studied stress and I had taught stress management for 25 years. And then all of a sudden I had a stress crisis. And what that told me is it's not in your head. You know, so you can read as much as you want, but when you're stressed, your mind isn't working very well. So you need something more instant to get yourself back from that place where, you know, you feel like you can't do anything.
Other than chocolate, I'm guessing.
Exactly. You know, that's why we have these habits that we can reach for fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate, sugar, you name it, cigarettes, alcohol.
Yeah. All those things. Okay. All right, we're going to get to that in a minute, too. But
because
I
work
to...
fast, right.
Oh, yeah, they sure do, but boy, does your rear end suffer.
Exactly.
You're the president and founder of LifeQuest International. And what is that? Just so we kind of work through your bio a little bit, and then I've got,
right.
So many questions
well,
for you.
Well, I named my business LifeQuest because that's exactly what it is. It's my life quest. I have been on this path, and I just keep learning new things and turning around to teach the next person. So what I do is it's my own path that I'm really learning how to heal my own life, and then mm-hmm. I turn around and teach the next one. So I ended up being a speaker, a coach, you know, somebody who just passes on the wisdom and the knowledge. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I do. So
I
that's my business,
like that.
Is being on my own life quest and helping other people learn from that.
Yeah, that's a neat title for a business, too. And I love how it all plays together. I like that. How did you get into nursing in the first place? Because that's an interesting person to get into nursing because, you know, I was thinking about that when I first started college and things like that. I really wanted to be a doctor, and then I got in there, and I'm like, I don't know if I could do that job for real. I think I've got
uh-huh.
the smarts for it, but actually putting it into practice and having to tell people they were sick or administering medicine and things like that, it just didn't work for me. How did you do that?
Well, that's a funny story. When I was in high school, you know, I wanted to go in the Peace Corps. I didn't want to go to college. And my parents were diehard, you have to go to college. And my mother always wanted to be a nurse. So she said, you ought to be a nurse because no matter what, you can always go back to work for a week or two and get a new carpet or a new sofa or something like that. That was the theory back then. Okay, this
yeah.
is back in the early 60s, or in the mid-60s. 65 is when I graduated high school. So it was a very pragmatic decision. I was the first born, so I was kind of there to live my parents' life the way they thought it should be.
Sure, yeah.
And so that's what I did. I went to college and took nursing. It wasn't my passion at that time or my, you know, desire, but it was the best thing that was offered to me. And as it turned out, it was the perfect occupation for me because nursing has such diversity in it and flexibility in it. I could find my niche and still be doing nursing. So it worked out beautifully, but I didn't set out with a goal to do that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, how has it served you, though, over the years? I'm curious. Is it something that you're like, I'm so glad I did that, Mom. Thanks.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
And the reason being, because I could move in these different ways. So when I started out after nursing school, I never worked in a hospital again. I worked my way through school, but I didn't go back to hospital at all. And so I ended up in mental health. I worked with autistic children in a research unit, first off. Then I was in public health. Then I went into addictions, and that was fascinating. I was one of the first people on a demonstration grant that was called Occupational Health Grants, and that evolved into what we call today employee assistance programs. So it was very much on the cutting edge of different areas of
mm-hmm.
healing and health, but not traditional in any way. And yet I could still be a nurse. And when I did my own employee assistance programs, that's when I started my business. At that point, I realized that the nursing degree was valued by business. So I didn't have any problem translating what I did into the business language, and they respected my degree. So
nice.
Nursing as a profession, but also as a degree, is very flexible. It's honored and respected in a variety of fields. And that's worked out well.
Yeah, no, it's one of my friends is going back to get her nursing degree, and she's just loving every minute of it. She's like, you know, I never went to college, but now I'm finally ready for college in my 40s. It was real interesting to hear her say that, and she's just breezing through it. And, you know,
wonderful.
It's great. I'm proud of her. She's got a child who has really severe food allergies, and I think she's just so frustrated with not knowing how to deal with it that she's like, okay, I'm going to get complete command over this and become a nurse. So
that's a good feel because nursing is not medicine, and I think a lot of people don't understand this. I think a lot of nurses have gotten sucked into the medical model in hospital situations. Mm-hmm. But the truth is nursing is all about getting and staying well. It's not about treating diseases. That's medicine. Okay, so nurses are always looking for alternatives and how it works and nutrition. So we get that broad, holistic view to begin with. And that's why you find a lot of nurses in holistic medicine, energy healing, all of those kinds of things, because our philosophy and our background, starting with Nightingale, was people are not just bodies. You know, it's the whole person, the relationships with family, community, all of those things play out in your health. So it's very much right on the cutting edge today with health reform and so on.
Yeah. Let's talk about your field of expertise, especially, you know, here, because we're here for an hour and we're here to talk about stress. Do you think you have to have a major crisis in your life before you understand stress?
I would like to think not. Can we learn from other people's crisis? Hopefully.
Yeah.
But I'm a good example. You know, I studied this stuff and taught it, and then ended up on the sofa with a cover over my head one day, overcooked and not knowing what to do next. And my mind went, you know, this doesn't make any sense. I know better. You know, so here again, the mind was not sufficient to take care of that. And I think we all have our point where we get overburdened. At that time in my life, I had my home-based business. I was raising two pre-adolescent kids. I had a husband. And I was going to school for my master's degree.
That's not enough.
My father passed away. I see nurses do this stuff. I think a lot of people do. A lot of strong, capable people take on more and more and more. And they
too
think
much,
that it's fine. And so I was doing all of that. Then my father passed away in August. Mm. And in September, my mother came to live with me, and she was not well. So I was taking care of her. And that October was the breaking point, and I found myself just sitting there with a cover over my head, wanting to just stop the world. You know, I want to get off for 3 months and start over again. I don't know how I got into this mess, but I really need to stop. And that's when everything changed. My perspective changed on what stress is really about and what to really do about it. And it has worked for me ever since. So do I need another crisis? No. And did people really need to be in crisis? I don't think so. But we really had not had the awareness that knowing the tools isn't enough. You really have to begin to recondition yourself to take an action immediately when you're feeling stressed. And as long as you learn to do that, you know, you can manage very well.
Okay, so let me repeat that a little bit. Let me repeat what I just heard you say.
Okay.
So perhaps it's not enough to know these are the things about stress, to know these 50 things that cause stress or whatever. You really have to not only take that, but apply it to something that works for your body and soul.
Yes.
Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, immediately.
Tell me what that means. I'm going to give you an example of... We'll use me as an example today, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
My father has just been diagnosed, and I mean this real, too. It's not just a story. My father's just been diagnosed with kidney cancer.
Mm.
He is a 7-year stroke survivor. And, over the past few weeks, we've learned he has kidney cancer. He has a 4-centimeter mass on his kidney, and he is today, as we speak, at the Mayo Clinic getting a second opinion. They've rescheduled his surgery from Thursday to Friday, and the Mayo Clinic is now going to do the surgery instead of another hospital. The odds are not in his favor with this situation. his heart's in AFib, and you know, all sorts of things are going on that, you know, are just a, it's a bad situation. Now, I'm a mom of four boys. I've got my career. My husband's got his career. You know, all of these things. We have after school activities and everything. So I wouldn't say that I'm not real stressful, but I'd like to use that as an example. If something's happening like that in your life, how do you
right.
not let stress from it consume you? How do you recognize that you're stressed out, and what do you do about it? Because that's
right.
a ball of crud being thrown. And I feel bad because it's not, you know, I'm not the one that's sick. If anybody should be stressed out, it's my dad.
Yeah.
But stress affects everybody.
Exactly. Sure. And so the question is, how are you feeling right now? Check into your body. Where are you feeling the tension?
Mm-hmm.
Of just even telling that story.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a big yoga meditator, so I'm mellow through. My mom always says, I don't know how you do it, but you're really mellow through a crisis. So
right.
my mom's like, you need to get over here so we have that calm person in the room. Get on the airplane and, you know, and we'll have the calm girl there. Because everybody else tends to freak, and I'm kind of more like, okay, let's maneuver through this. And I'm real logical about it. And I don't never know if that's good or bad.
Know this, well, obviously works for you, and it helps other people around you, and you've been doing something all along, and this is my point. You've been doing the yoga all along. You've been doing the meditation all along. So there's a part of you that has already discovered that what's going on in the moment is not the reality in and of itself, that there's a part of you that can be the observer on this, that doesn't have to get in the fray and get all frantic and not feel in control. So here's the key. What I'm hearing you say is you have a sense of control of yourself. Is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yeah.
Even though you have no control over this situation, you don't know what's going to happen. And this is the truth. Life gives us this change is normal, right? It's constant. So we're
yeah.
always faced with something outside of ourselves that we don't have control over. But as long as you have this sense of control in yourself, I can handle it. I don't know how I'm going to handle it yet, but I know I can. I have this, you're breathing. Okay, number one, you've got some control over your breathing. So when you take charge and control over what you have control over, that is your thinking, your feelings, and your body,
mm-hmm.
you can handle whatever's happening out here. And that's the reduction of stress. It's not reducing the stress outside of you. It's really getting control of inside of you, because what I discovered is there's only one cause for all stress, and that is you feel out of control. And mm-hmm. unless you feel out of control, you're not stressed.
I like that a lot. And it's interesting because I think, you know, I'm 42. I think when I was in my 20s, I always call it get sucked into drama.
Right.
Where you become the drama. And what, you know, and this has nothing to really do with my father right now, what I'm talking about, but even with just other people, like with girl drama, you know, you can have a pack of girls around you and they'll all be emotional or crying or, you know, whatever. And you can either go into it or you can kind of stay removed from it and be in control of your own self. I think it took me a while to kind of learn that, like maintaining control of your own self. I don't know, you just said it, and I don't know if I'm repeating it in a strange way or whatever, but
I'm
kind
simple.
Of all, it does, but it's very, very hard to do.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, it can be from, you know, like I'll use another example. Like our son was playing on an iron gym. It's one of those things you do pull-ups with in the doorway of your house. You know, we've got boys, so they're always doing crazy stuff, and the iron gym fell on his head. And, you know, it's instant stitches. You know, you can tell it's bleeding everywhere and whatever. And that stressed me out. I can tell you that I was like seeing blood going, ah, you know, kind
yeah.
of thing. How bad is this? You know, we're bleeding profusely. And so we did a 911 kind of thing. And it, you know, it turns out it's like a centimeter gap, you know, it needs two stitches, but they go, oh, yeah, head wounds, they always bleed profusely. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, all that stress for that? you know, kind of thing. I'm thinking his brains are going to shoot out of his ears or something, you know, because this thing is falling on him.
Well, so, sure, and you were his, you're his mother, and so
yeah.
you've got all that, you know, fear of what happens to your child, right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I think, you know, I'm trying to give some examples that maybe people can relate to. And these seem to be more along the lines of medical crisis stress.
Right.
But I'd like to, I wonder if we could shift focus. I think everybody at some point has to deal with parents who are ill and things like that, and it's very stressful.
Right.
And I think what you said, I think I'd like to talk a little bit more about that without getting scattered, about being in control of yourself and
mm-hmm.
making sure that when stress comes your way, we call them, I call them like little landmines.
Yeah,
life's little landmines, for example, and in whatever, they can be little landmines or big ones. But when they come your way and you've been lobbed one, how do you maintain control of yourself without getting frantic?
Right. So the premise of the book is basically do one thing that puts you back in control. Okay, so when life throws you this landmine and you suddenly realize you have no control over that
mm-hmm.
situation, the first step is to take charge of you. So taking a deep breath, of course, is the simplest thing, and we all learn that. Okay, now I've got oxygen in my brain so I can think.
Hmm.
As soon as you are stressed, that is, feeling out of control, all of your faculties go to your body. They come out, the oxygen comes to your body. It comes to your hands and your feet ready to run. It's fight, flight, or freeze. You know, so that's our primitive response. So what you're working against that by taking a deep breath, you're taking back control of your body, control
mm-hmm.
of your breathing, and you're bringing more oxygen into your brain so you can think. So simple things that actually bring you back. And when it comes to the mind, what you realize that you're starting to think of all the terrible things that might be happening, just like you mentioned with your son. Oh, my gosh, his brains might come out. You know, it's
yeah.
bleeding. He'll lose too much blood. So we're looking at all the negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
The moment you take a positive look and you say, what's right in this situation? What can I do? As soon as you ask
that
question, what can I do? See, it's
mm-hmm.
one way to bring it back inside of you, where you have control. What can I do? I can call 911.
Got it.
Right? What can
yeah.
I do? You probably did that automatically. And this is what I'm suggesting is in those moments, you have one or two things you can do automatically, immediately, that puts you back in control. Once you're in control, now you can problem solve. Now you can see a bigger picture. There's an emotional technique where you actually just do a little tapping on pressure points. It's called the emotional freedom technique, one of my favorites. And when I feel like I'm being pulled out into the drama or into an argument, I just do a little tap. I take a breath, do a little tapping, I'm back. Now I can think, I can see things bigger.
That's interesting. Where's the tapping? What is the acupuncture point for that?
There are certain pressure points, and actually there's a video on my website. Under EF as in Francis, T as in Tom, Emotional Freedom Technique, EFT, just click that menu item and there'll be a video there that shows you exactly how to do this. And what
okay.
it's for is to bring your emotions back in alignment. Okay, it brings your electrical current back in alignment in your body. When you feel calm, you can think. You know, you can figure things out. You can look for options and make choices. But when you're emotionally charged and upset, you can't think. The oxygen here again comes out of your mind and it goes to your body, and now you're just reacting.
Hmm.
You're just reacting whatever way the wind is blowing.
Yeah. Now, what about, okay, instead of maybe reacting, what about kind of low levels of, like, constant stress? Let's say, and you may not even be aware that you're under it or think that you're managing it well, but let's give a scenario of mom and dad both have, you know, jobs. They're both
mm-hmm.
gone all day long, and then they have a couple kids on top of it and a couple mortgage payments behind, and
right.
uh-oh, dad just lost a job. You know, that kind of stress.
Constant.
Kind of a constant, busy well, maybe overscheduled kids, a few too many soccer games, football games, you know, just that constant on-the-go lifestyle. Is that stressful for people?
Oh, yeah.
Or can some people, do you think no matter what, that's a crazy lifestyle, too stressful, or can some people really tackle it all with no repercussions? I have my own thoughts on this, but I think I just asked it that way.
I think we are sucked into a very stressful lifestyle these days. And here's one thing I learned, the to-do list, right? Mm-hmm. What I learned when I was on the sofa with the cover over my head is I had a to-do list that was amazing, and most of it wasn't mine. Most of it was what I inherited from my mother, all the should-to-dos, all the things I should do because I'm a wife, because I'm a mother, because I'm, you know, a daughter, all the should-dos that I inherited, they really came down through history as what a good woman, mother, wife should do.
Well, of course.
Then I had all my father's to-dos, because in this day and age, women and men really inherit both of those lists. We don't have that dividing line where men do this and women do that. So we've taken on both to-do lists, and we inherit those. And they also are the to-dos that come with our roles, right? A good nurse should, a good, you know, radio host should. Okay,
yeah.
So we've got all these shoulds. And the problem is we never take anything off the list, right? So if you might laugh at this. I grew up when the phone was still attached to the wall. And there wasn't an answering machine. Just imagine all the additional tasks we've added with all these time-saving devices that
amazing,
are running our
it?
Lives, right? Everything from the computer. So we haven't taken some of these other things off the list. We're always checking things off, but we're adding more stuff. And so time, here's one of those things you cannot control. Time is finite. You cannot control the number of hours in a day. The only thing you can control is what's important for you to do with them.
Yep.
And that's where we take control back. Everybody who's in that situation, too much to do and not enough time, you need to take a deep breath and say to yourself, this is the question I asked myself at that moment. If I died right now, who would do all this stuff? If I had a heart attack, who would do all this stuff? And the answer was revealing. My daughter would do some of it. My son would do some of it. My husband would go to the grocery store. There were a lot of things nobody would do. And then you have to ask yourself, well, why am I doing them? If they're not important enough that anyone else would pick them up and do them, then I have to be really clear on why I'm doing it. If it really enriches me, it's part of what's important to me, that's great. But most of that stuff, as it turns out, was just stuff I thought I should do. It wasn't important at this point in time. It might have been 50 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago, but not right now. So it's where we have to constantly update our values and priorities. Right now, you've got a new priority, your dad. So you have to take a moment and take a look and say, okay, of all the things I do, at this moment, which ones can be put on the back burner for some other time, because they're not really vitally important right now. There's a time finite situation here with my dad. He's not going to be here forever. What's important to me? And you have to make that decision. But what we don't do is sit back and ask ourselves those questions. We just keep trying to do it all.
Yeah, definitely. It's very interesting. I love that thinking. Is that written in your book? Like, you know, as I'm sitting here with the cover over my head thinking, who would do all this?
Yeah, it is in my book.
I love it, yeah.
And not only that, I never asked. And here's another thing, Elizabeth. Those of us who are strong, capable, you know, try to do it all, and perfectly, I have a model called Breaking the Perfection Myth, because I was one of those people. It had to be done just right. If you don't do it, if you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. That these are little beliefs that we pick up along the way.
Well, sure.
So it had to be right.
Perfect kid, perfect house, perfect family, and God forbid
it's
there's
insane.
A dust bunny somewhere. You know, yeah, I stopped doing that a long time ago. People, you can come in my house and find plenty of dust.
That's
it's abundant.
That's a good thing.
I just, You know, really and truly, I mean, there was a point in my life where I'm like, you know, you have to line up everybody's shoes at the front door, and this house needs to not have anything ever go wrong with it, or knobs missing, or, you know, you can make yourself nuts trying to make
your
environment perfect.
Yeah, if you have nothing better to do, that's fine.
Yeah, well, you know, exactly. And, you know, we quickly learned, you know, just right out of the gate with four kids, that, you know, not everyone can have three activities every night, you know, and homework and dinner and any time to relax. It just doesn't work for us. So we've really pretty much almost never allowed that. You know, we've said, you guys, each one of you can pick one thing to do and do that well.
Exactly.
And, you know, if it's quarterly, if it's baseball, then basketball, then football, then hockey, it can be four different things, but not all of them at once. Because
we're
not spending our night running around from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock and then eating at 10:30. Dinner's at 5:30, be here or be square, you know, kind of thing.
You learned that lesson, yes.
Yeah, yes. And so we really try do you think it's silly to try and control stress? Can you control?
You can only control you. You can't control what's outside of you. Yeah, you can't control the event,
say that.
The time. You know, so time. What I found is stress, the stressors that we have in our life come under three categories. And pretty much all of them fall into one of these. Time, too much to do, not enough time. Mm-hmm. Holding on to old resentments and such from the past that we're still hanging on to and spending energy on.
Mm-hmm.
Worrying about the future, which, of course, you can't do anything about. And so we spend a lot of time and energy worrying. So think of stress as basically taking your energy. It's just robbing your energy. And so these are the time features that tend to rob our energy. Nature, which is change, health, people having new babies, people dying, changes in your life of all kinds. Something changed. The bank crisis. Okay.
Crisis, yeah.
We can't do anything about it. That's just part of the changing systems that we're living in. And the other one, the big one, is other people. We're trying to control and get upset about what other people think, do, and say, and
good
all
luck
of that.
With that one. Yeah,
That's the big one. That's the long one.
Yeah, you know, I like that because, you know, it really does. This is a really good lesson. I hope people listening are getting this, because you really can only control you. I've been saying for a long time you can't control other people. You can just control your kind of like responses to them and so forth. But this is bigger than that. This is about your control of you, like how you spend your time,
right?
What you think, what you're going to worry about,
and
how you. How you maybe would be how you react to change? Is that the right word for that?
Well, it's your choices. The most powerful thing we own is our choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most powerful thing I own. And how often do we give that choice away?
Oh, geez.
To the situation, to the person, to just not being conscious.
Uh-huh. Ooh,
right.
That's a good...
When you make a choice, whether it's, you know, even if it's what color socks you're wearing, if you're conscious that you make the choice, you feel better.
Hmm.
You feel better. Here's this little simple one. When I had the cover of my head, one of those things that nobody else would do was put the toilet paper roll on the toilet paper holder, right? Nobody would do that if I died right now.
Isn't that annoying? No one does that in my house either. How'd you fix that one?
Well, what I thought to myself, well, then why am I doing it? If it's not important enough for anybody else to do, nobody really cared. I'm the only one who cared about it. Why did I care about it? Well, because it should be that way, right? I learned somewhere along. So I just decided at that point, I'm just going to leave it on the sink too. And then after about a week, I thought, you know, I really like it there. I like it on the little holder. So now I'm putting it on the holder, but I'm not resenting it anymore. I'm not upset about it. I made a choice to do it. I'm not feeling like, well, I have to do it because nobody else will do it. It's only a difference in the way I was looking at it, but once it became my choice and I said, I want to do it, no stress anymore.
I love this example. Do you know why? Because I bet every household in America faces this, especially if you have small children.
Right.
I bet every single, it's a great example. I mean, really and truly, I live with five boys. They don't care whether the toilet paper's on the thing or not. It's like living in a frat house all the time in here. It's hysterical. You know, the 10, 12, no, I mean it really. My husband does. I got to give my husband some props here. He's good about it. But, you know, the boys' bathroom, there are two bathrooms that the boys use upstairs. They're just foul. I mean, I'm just like, well, whatever, and we'll clean them and stuff. But it left to their own devices. You know, the toilet paper's on the floor. The
right.
towels are on the floor. The clothes are on the floor. You know, and I did this. You know, I did this. I did exactly what you're saying. You know, we had Mom Appreciation Week. It was only called that in my head. And I just let the stuff pile up. I really did. I let them leave their towels on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And I let them leave their clothes everywhere until it piled up enough over 3 or 4 days that they started picking up after themselves. I'm like, oh,
it bothered them enough
happened.
To do it.
Yeah, it needed to, though, because I realized that I was spending my energy trying to make it perfect all the time. And then I took a different approach to them. Like, God forbid they ever have a wife. Because she's calling me, yelling at me, going, you didn't make them pick up their stuff. And I realized,
right.
you know, I can't sit there and harp on them all the time because it stresses me out. Trust me. I mean, that was not an easy week for me to sit and leave everything messy because, I always feel like it's sort of a reflection on me how clean my house is. And I'm finally like, to heck with all you who have to need a reflection on me.
Right, because you have no control over that.
No, I can't stand it.
Over them being a reflection on you because you have no control over their behavior, right?
Yeah, the whole thing's a mess. So I just said, you know what, pile up away and let your rooms pile up too. I'm going to let you guys, in my head, you know, suffer. You can live in your own messes. And now the house has become much more clean. Very interesting.
Right. They realized that it was easier to pick it up more often than to wait till it piles up like a mess.
Or hear me gripe about it, too.
Yes.
The gripe factor went away. Mom, you know, kids, clean your room. Can't clean the bathroom. Connor, you know, you know, that kind of thing. The noise went away in the house. I'm like, you know, and it was very interesting because it was like a light bulb went off with me, and I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. And neither is Peter, you know, because Peter constantly says, leave it. Just leave it. I'm like, I can't leave that. It looks terrible. What if somebody comes over here in the bathroom, you know, that kind of thing, and he's just going to leave it. I'm like, okay, I'll leave it. Let's see what happens. And he's like, see, I told you. I'm like, oh,
there it
okay.
is. Well, that's one of those energy principles that we hear a lot in Law of Attraction and so on, but here it is in action. What you resist persists. The more you fight against something and the more you try to fix it and change it, the more it starts to push back, right? So you were pushing against something that was very natural, so they push back. And then as soon as you let go, so think of it as a like a rope, tug of war, right?
Yeah.
As soon as you let go of your end, there's no fight anymore. Now they have the option to choose to do it.
Yeah. So I've sort of taken that approach to a lot of things in the house you can't do things like that when they're babies, you know, when they're not capable of picking up after themselves. You know, you can't just doesn't work that way. Yeah. So I'm not suggesting that. But you know, I sort of think, you know, we have a lot of people listening right now, and I think there's a lot of moms out there who go through this. It's just too much to keep everything perfect and work and take care of children and, you know, maybe do your hair and makeup too.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Do something for yourself along the way, God forbid. And so maybe letting things go a little bit it's almost like a deck of cards. You kind of force the hand and it seemed like they just, a light bulb went on with them where they just got it.
Mm-hmm. It became important to them to do it.
Yeah.
And that made all the difference. And it wasn't, here's the other thing, you took it out of the realm of, it's disrespectful to me to leave all this stuff out here. You took that away.
Yeah.
And it didn't make yourself feel bad over it anymore.
No.
And that allowed them to make the new choice, too. Well, and
yeah.
People who have little kids, you know, small children, it is their nature. So here's what where we work against nature. It is their nature to be curious, to take things apart, to have stuff around and looking and seeing and absorbing the senses of things. So if you're trying to pick it up all the time, you're spending a lot of energy working against nature. Pick a time, maybe twice a day, everything gets put away, and then they start over again without having to do it constantly, because that'll drive you crazy. Working against nature is just the worst thing we can do.
Yeah, and you know, toys are fun, too, so hey.
you know, if people come to your house and there are toys on the floor and they have a problem with it, that's
their
problem.
There's the door, really. You know, they, yeah,
it's not
my
problem.
You don't want to be here, there you go.
Yeah. Your priority is your child and your relationship with your child.
Yeah.
And your relationship
with
your neighbor is important, but it's not at the top of the list.
Yeah, or, you know, go ahead. What were you going to say? It's not, yeah,
you know, it may be 15th or 16th down the list. It's not like if everything was going great, sure, pick up the stuff and your neighbor can come in and not have a problem with your toys on the floor. But if your child wants to play and you want to play with your child and stuff's all over, well, that's number one.
Yeah. You know, I actually, let me see if you agree with this. I actually think one of the best stress busters of all is playing with kids and coloring with them and things like that. So we have had some monstrous messes in our house. Lovely messes. I mean, we have had trains. We've got, I have the Lego kid and the train kid and the Hot Wheels kid, you know, all of them, you know, and those are just endless pieces and little things. And we have made train tracks and everything, like through all the way down the hallway and through rooms. Fun. You know, kind of. Yeah. So what do you think about that? You know,
I love it.
Do you think
it's
good for people? Even if you don't have kids, do you think that's good for people to find their inner kid to boost, to break stress?
I tell people, just go borrow a kid if you don't have one. Borrow a 2 or 3 year old and take them to the library and just have a blast. You know, it is, they will bring you back home to what's really true about us. Okay, people say, well, I don't have any creativity. Of course you do. It came in your package. We just forgot it because we have all these rules and regulations and shoulds on top of it. So yeah, bringing yourself back to your nature. Your nature is to be curious. Your nature isn't to have all the answers. Your nature is to be curious. If you look at a little child, that's what we started with. So those are our natural gifts. And if we've forgotten them, it's because we've gotten too far away from that. So, yeah, bringing yourself back to it periodically is very healthy. Very healthy.
Yeah. What do you think about the role of exercise and eating right with stress? Do you think those contribute, not if you're not an exerciser and if you're a junk food junkie, do you think that makes stress worse?
Oh, absolutely. Because here's the thing, stress actually deteriorates the body, right? Cortisol is elicited and it begins to deteriorate. Now, your defense against stress is a strong immune system. If you have a strong immune system, well, you can withstand a certain amount of that and still be well. So how do you have a strong immune system? Well, the body only needs 5 things to stay well. It only needs food. Now, if you're only feeding it chemicals, processed food, microwave food, junk food, it doesn't have any nutrition. And plus the fact that you're hungrier if you're not feeding yourself whole foods. So when you feed yourself whole, organic, healthy foods, things that grow in the ground directly, or on a tree, because they have energy in them. So if you feed your body that, it has more energy. Now, in addition to food, it's water. Well, we're drinking so many, our water has so much chemical in it, so just filter your water, get a little brighter and filter your water. Air. So if you're working in one of those hermetically sealed buildings all day long, when you get a break, go outside and take a breath of fresh air. trees. Anywhere where there are trees, the trees clean the air. So going to a little forest or a little area, park area where there are trees and take some deep breaths, that's going to help you. Sun. Mm-hmm. We're told we shouldn't be out in the sun. We've got chemicals on our body when we go out in the sun. The sun is essential to your health because it converts vitamin D in your body. And now that we've been out of the sun, putting the chemicals on, what are you reading about? Vitamin, all these diseases that are vitamin D deficiencies. So you need to get a little bit of sun every day, and then movement, a little bit of walking, a little bit of movement. We sit in front of the computer, we sit in front of the TV, you know, we're getting too sedentary. So those five things, if you get a little bit of them, you don't have to be perfect. Here again, let go of the perfection. 10 minutes of walking a day, 10 minutes of sunshine, a little bit more healthy food and water, your body has the capacity to repair itself from all the stressful things you're experiencing.
Yeah. And what,
you know,
what
so
I like,
yes,
that,
is that important? Yes.
Yeah.
Essential.
Well, what I like that you just said here especially is you're not saying, you know, don't ever eat a Kit Kat again and, you know, ever have soda and don't, you know, you're not saying like you have to become a marathon runner exerciser to get healthy and not have stress. You're saying like, you know, be mindful of these, you know, food, water, air, movement, and sun. Be mindful of them and try and do some of these things to improve yourself to lower your stress
Just get
levels.
A little more every day. That's it.
Yeah.
And don't worry about when you didn't. I think here's the other thing. We beat ourselves up. It's that perfection myth. If we're going to do it, we've got to do it 100%.
Well, sure.
and I don't know about you, but what happens in me, I've learned, because I lost 100 pounds 3 times. The last time was permanent because I learned some of these things. Uh-huh. But what happens to me when I start to say, I have to do this and I have to do that and I can't have that, is my little adolescent shows up, my inner adolescent that says, yeah, watch me.
That is really
I don't know
funny.
About you, but I got that inner adolescent that says, oh, I can't, watch me.
Yeah, we sure do, don't we? Yeah, that's an interesting thing. And it's part of the, you know, killing the perfection in ourselves. And that doesn't mean, I want to see if we can talk about this a little bit, too. It doesn't mean do everything poorly, either. And it doesn't
mean
do everything mediocre, either. It just means there's a... It's hard because I have it too. You know, you want everything to be you know perfect. You know, it's great. Everything's
right.
Perfect. You know, but it's if you do that to yourself, and I've really learned a long time ago to not do this. It's you just make yourself crazy with trying to be perfect all the time. Not a hair out of place, girl. You know, it's crazy.
Here's the difference. When you're striving to achieve some kind of external image of perfection.
Good luck.
You'll never get there because we already know nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
It's a catch-22. Practice makes perfect and nobody's perfect. So you're always got this gap where you feel bad because you're not there. And you keep trying to get there and you can never get there.
Well,
and so you're driving yourself crazy, as you say, with trying to get where you can never get. Now, the other way to do this is to come inside. See, that external image of perfection is outside of you. It's not true to you. When you come inside and you say, who am I? What's important to me? What are my gifts, my strengths, my attributes that I contribute to the world, uniquely yours? Because if you look at your fingertips, you'll notice you're one of a kind, right?
Yep.
So that's unique to you. Now, if you're expanding that. Think of it like a flower blooming, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You are naturally going to be attracted to the things that are easy for you, the things that are fun for you, that are that enhance you, right? So you're opening yourself more and more and more to being who you were born to be. You can't help but be excellent. You can't help but be successful, happy. All of those things are built into your system if you focus from the inside out rather than trying to be everything for everybody all the time perfectly. That doesn't work. But yeah. Can you be absolutely excellent and phenomenal? No doubt about it. And
yep.
with less stress, because it's more fun and it's natural to you. So we have a belief, no pain, no gain, as another destructive belief. The truth is, what's easy for you, what people compliment you on, and you go, oh, yeah, but that's easy. That's it. That's
yep.
what's to focus your energy on. That's your gift that you brought to the world, and it's different from anybody else's. So this is where you can be your best ever, as you say, your best ever self, because you are being more of yourself and
yep.
not trying to be something somebody said you should be.
That's exactly what we're trying to teach people. So and I have a feeling this is going to be a really pivotal show for best ever you and our listeners and things like that, because, you know, you've just so eloquently put exactly what we're trying to teach people, you know, and that's to just hone in and tune in on what's uniquely you and what your strengths are. Even your weaknesses are kind of fun to focus on, too, because it's kind of fun to improve your weaknesses. I love that when I'm not good at something, but I know I'm not going to ever be perfect at it. But it's, you know, like drawing is an example for me. That side of my brain just does not function well.
Mm-hmm.
It functions, but not well. I mean, you know. So am I getting better at drawing stick figures? Yeah, it's fun. But will
yeah,
I ever be
well,
the
if you're not taking yeah, if you're not expecting yourself to be, you know, Andrew Wise. Yeah, it's
yeah,
good.
Exactly. So yeah, but people, you'll be surprised at people who beat themselves up, who really really are capable of stick figures, but you know. Think they're something else or want to be something
right.
else.
Well, here's the basis of teamwork. Find
yeah.
someone else who is good at it and just love them
yeah.
and embrace them and put their art on your wall.
Yeah.
And that's what I've got. I've got lots of friends who are wonderful artists, and I just put their art on my wall.
Yeah.
And I just enjoy them and embrace them.
Yeah. So
without having to become them.
Yeah, exactly.
Or compete with them.
Compete
yeah.
with them, or, you know, the other thing, I notice women do this a lot. It doesn't seem to be, for example, in my husband's bag of tricks. He just does not care about the Joneses. But women seem to, you know, be like, oh, well, they have a nicer house or a nicer car or that one's got nicer hair or clothes or whatever. What is that? And why do we
yeah.
stress ourselves out that we don't look like somebody or act like somebody or drive like somebody or live in their house?
Yeah, this
why
is all
do we do
this
that?
Is all learned. This is all learned behavior. We're
mm-hmm.
not born believing this. This is learned. We get it passed down to us. And I think a lot of women it's passed down to them that, as you said, how your kids act, how your house looks, all of this is a reflection on you, who you are, and it isn't. But that's what we're taught, and
yeah.
so we get real hung up on it. And I think it's learned. And one of the things I learned, or I decided, is that if
I
hear
that,
the
I'm
word
decided.
Should, if I hear the word should in my head, the next question is who made that up?
Oh, I like that.
Okay, if you hear the word should in your mind, because we are shoulding on ourselves all the time, and you can tell what you're critical about in you because you're also critical about it in other people. So even if you're not noticing your head, what's going on in your mind, you can just see it because it's reflected in what you're critical of other people.
Okay.
So where do I have that? Okay. And who made that up? Because, folks, the nature, laws of nature are very simple. Go outside. And I did this. I sat outside for a year and watched the garden grow and planted things and saw how nature works. And I thought, wow, everything works this way. It does. But we try to work against it. That's our problem. As human beings, somehow we think we can do better than nature, so we try to work against it.
Isn't that interesting?
And
yeah.
And nature, if you work with nature, everything works. If you work against nature, it's stressful,
it
takes a lot of energy. So just observe how it works. Everything else was made up by human beings.
Yeah, in my blog, I have a column called "Stop Shitting All Over Yourself." So it's probably pretty similar to what you're saying, from being a life coach and things. So yeah, I'm a big. If I hear I should do that in my head, I run. Basically, I'm like, no, I shouldn't. I'm going to do something else, or
well,
I really do think about.
This takes the next step, Elizabeth. Just ask yourself, who made it up? Where did it come from? Because that allows you then to let go of it instead of working against it. Just let go of it because, oh, that's where it came from. You know, it was the time when women had to leave their jobs and go home and they made laundry, you know, their occupation.
Right.
You know, we had all those laundry commercials because this was like women's full-time job now is, you know,
laundry.
Making sure there's no ring around the collar. So all that stuff, that's where this
that?
Stuff comes from. Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I remember that. Yeah, and Calgon, take me away.
So I think of it as if you just, you can figure all this out for yourself because this is how I did it, is just notice your energy.
Yeah.
What do you eat that in a half an hour you have more energy? What do you eat that in a half an hour you have less energy? That's how you decide what's right for you to be eating. What do you do? What kind of actions do you do that give you more energy? What kind of actions do you do that give you less energy? What kind of people do you have around you that drain your energy? What kind of people bring it back? If you just manage your energy by observing what gives you energy and what stresses you or takes your energy away, you can begin to structure your life so it can be literally stress-free, except for the things that happen outside that you just can't control.
You just can't control, yeah.
You just can't control those. But you can control what you do about them, what you choose. And that's where you have the most power and the most energy is in your actual choice. So, you know, if you want to keep it simple, that's as simple as it gets. Just watch yourself in a whole day and see where's the energy going.
Yeah, and I think, do you think people, we have 3 minutes left, just so you're aware of timing. So I'm going to ask you something that might be too long for that, so just be aware of time.
I'll be quick.
Do you think people, let me start over here. How do you teach someone to stop and observe themselves? Because that's a skill, to not let just life carry you on the waves without really paying attention. I think some people do that, and they don't ever go inward. Do you just tell people to just take a day off and think about yourself? Because some people are really uncomfortable with themselves.
Right. Well, we've been taught that we're pretty awful people, and so you know you really don't want to look any further inside. I think that's part of it, is we think that if we look inside, we're going to find this sinful, awful, terrible thing. And that's not true. Okay, so number one, that's not true, but that's what we fear. And I would say the best thing to do is find someone else, a coach, okay? Doesn't have to be a paid coach, but someone who can help you reflect. Be open to feedback. Feedback is a gift. It's not criticism now. Criticism is designed to make you feel bad. Feedback is giving you honest truth. If you have a friend that you can buddy with, see, because we can't see everything, we can see through our mirrors.
Yeah.
We can't see ourselves, right?
You can only see parts
of yourself, but you can't see all of yourself.
Yeah.
But we can see ourselves through a mirror. So pick some really positive people who love you that are willing to mirror to you some things so that you can begin to see it. You know, someone can say to you, you know, when you eat that, you get really angry. I notice that you get kind of edgy. If you eat this for lunch and if you eat that for lunch, you really, you know, are more pleasant.
More pleasant to be around or whatever, yeah.
Try it and see. Okay? Ask the people who work with you, you know, to observe you for you. Because sometimes we can't see ourselves at first.
You know, we're going to need... Yeah, no, I completely agree. What a fascinating show. And we're out of time, unfortunately. So I hope you come back again. Because there's so much to talk about on this topic. So what I want to do is maybe end the show with your website. It's AILASpeaks.com. I just want to make sure you're able to spell her first name right. So AILASpeaks.com. And I just want to thank you so much for being
on the show.
You're
welcome. There's lots of articles and there's some videos and just, you know, there's lots of information you can get there.
Yeah, and I hope that you join our network, BEYnetwork.com, and we can promote your videos on there, and you know we can do all sorts of neat stuff. So, thank you very much for being with us, and everybody, I'll see you guys Thursday at 1 o'clock for our for our Best Ever You show on Thursday. So hopefully my dad's surgery got switched to Friday, so Thursday we'll be able to do the show. And positive thoughts,
I'll be
to everyone.
I'll be saying some prayers and sending some energy healing for your dad.
Yeah, there's some good stuff going on Facebook where everybody's writing in with prayers for my dad. I love it. It's
wonderful. That works, folks. That works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, thank you so much. And everybody, visit besteveryou.com, and we'll see you Thursday. Thank you. Great
show.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.